The gospel last Sunday, a week ago, invited us to make our own the prayer of the tax collector, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now, it's not a change of words. It's not some new formula or some new expression of words that the Lord desires, but it's a change of life that he died on the cross to bring about. That's what the Lord demands. Not just expressing our heartfelt desire for mercy, but allowing that mercy to bring about a change. And that's why I would say with today's gospel, there is a profound difference from the gospel we heard a week ago. Now, let me just explain. I hope many of you have an opportunity or have had an opportunity to visit the Holy Land. It's the holiest place on earth. Sadly, in our own day, our brothers and sisters, Christians there, have been persecuted and found it very, very difficult to practice and keep the faith. I hope if you've not been to the Holy Land, you'll have an opportunity to go, because it's a profound revelation of God's love. The very geography speaks forth the desire of God to show himself to the world. I myself was blessed with an opportunity to go and to pray with some of my brother seminarians in those holiest of places. And there's a story that goes something like this about the Holy Land. A pilgrim was visiting and said, "Now, is this the road where the Good Samaritan found and had mercy on the one who was beaten by the side of the road?" We might say, well, it's a good question, right? I'd like to see that road. But then the reminder is that was a parable that the Lord told. That was a story that the Lord told. There might be a road that is in the place where Jesus described it, the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. So there is a road, but there was no Good Samaritan exactly, and there was no man beaten by the side of the road. That was a story that Jesus used to illustrate a point. We could say the same thing about last week's gospel. It was a story about a tax collector, a story about a Pharisee. And isn't that nice? A story can be very powerful and impactful. It can change lives, but I would suggest perhaps we might not have let it change our life. We might have allowed that story to be told and said, a nice parable, a nice and inspiring story, but that's a story, and here I am today. But I think today's gospel is even more intent, even more focused, even more emphasizing a great point. We can ignore a story. Even if we hear it over and over again, we can say, that's nice. I wish I could somehow express that prayer and posture of mercy. But in today's gospel, we do not have a story. We have a human being with a name. His name was Zacchaeus. He's a living witness. And this, I would suggest, is the reason why throughout the history of the church has been so adamant to point to the saints as living examples, living witnesses, recovering sinners themselves, so much in need of the Lord's mercy and yet recipients of it and changed by the grace that flows from the cross. Yes, we can ignore a story. Unfortunately, we're way too good at ignoring stories. But I hope and I pray, and the church hopes and prays as she gives us seemingly a story, but I would suggest a living example, a living witness of one who, like you and I, lived. One who, like you and I, will die, and yet one who, like you and I, have a door that is opened to encounter the mercy of God. My prayer today is that we let Zacchaeus, who was changed by his encounter with Christ, be a reminder for us that we would speak about mercy in vain if our lives are not radically changed. Now, there is in the human race a great primordial fascination with trees. I understand that some of the ancient religions, I was in Ethiopia and spent some time in the native religion there, worship trees, these great waka trees, because they were the largest thing in the whole landscape. They were the most massive and immovable forces and objects. I think especially boys, but I think everybody is fascinated with trees. I've had a lifelong fascination with trees. I didn't like climbing them so much. I was never very good at it, but I loved cutting them down. And I think if there's a fascination that goes with climbing trees, I think it's probably getting out the power tools and cutting them down. I spent a lot of my high school years working in buckthorn removal. And I think that fascination somehow points to the first reading from Wisdom. It's a beautiful reading. Before we focus on the insight about mercy, Let's just realize that the Creator is fascinated with His creation. Our Creator looks over all that He has made and does not loathe anything. He does not hate what He has made. That would be foolish to have made something and hated it. No, but the Lord is a lover of souls, a lover of His creation, a lover of His creatures. And He is placed especially in human creation. He is placed especially in your heart and in mine, His imperishable Spirit. And yet, as the Lord Himself, Jesus Christ, came into the world, incarnate, the Word of God, He came to His creation in love with it, and yet aware of how much it had wandered, how much it had gone astray, how much it had become bent and warped, how much it had become turned in on itself and isolated from the Lord. And so we can say, wow, the Lord is still fascinated. The Lord is still in love with all He has made. He does not loathe it, but His heart pines to bring and restore and heal and renew that creation so that it would not remain far from Him in isolation from Him. My brothers and sisters, we have gone astray from the purpose for which we have been made. But the Lord comes looking. He comes seeking. He comes searching. Just as our fascination with trees, the Lord in His beautiful fascination with His creation, with His creature, comes to find us and to remind us and restore us and open the way for us through the gift of the cross so that we can be restored for the purpose for which we were made, living communion with God. I turn to the gospel because we see a man in a way fascinated with trees. And I think there is a high irony in this scene, even if we miss it. And once again, I remind you, this is not a story, not a parable, but an event that took place, as real as anything has ever taken place in your life or mine. Jesus walked by, and a man met Jesus, and his life was changed. That's not a story. That's not a parable. That happened. But what is it when Jesus passes by and sees this man, Zacchaeus, foolishly, laughably hiding or climbed up into a tree? It is the Creator of the universe, the Creator and lover of souls that is passing by and finds one of His creatures who has been utterly and completely disfigured by his sinfulness, by his shame, by his embarrassment, by his conviction that he's not only a sinner personally and privately, but he is known by all, universally, reviled as a public sinner of the worst order, a chief among the tax collectors. And so it is that the Creator in walking by, Jesus Christ, the Word through whom all things were made, walks by to see one of the creatures that He created but has gone astray. And it reminds me so much of another scene in a garden, way back at the origins of our ancestry, when God was walking in the garden searching for His creatures, searching for Adam and Eve. And as He called out to Adam, He said, "Where are you?" And Adam says, "I am hiding here in the tree because I was afraid. My eyes were opened and I saw that I was naked and am ashamed." And in a beautiful way, we see Jesus walking by, just like God walking by, to find His creation, to find those creatures that were hiding and afraid. And it's beautiful to see that the grown man, Zacchaeus, in his desire both to see the Lord, but also in his embarrassment, in his shame, in his awareness that he was depraved, that he was caved in on himself, he climbed a tree in part so that he could see, but also in part so that he could be hidden from the world. But it was there from that tree looking out that Jesus looked up and found him and saw him and saw within him the original purpose for which he had been made, but which he had gone astray. Back to the Holy Land, I remember wandering through the Holy Land and some of these very places. And I remember passing through Jericho just as Jesus was passing through Jericho. And I remember our bus stopping by the side of the road and all getting out beside the road, and there was probably a little snack stand, and we all enjoyed some food. And then kind of in an offhanded remark, somebody said, "That's the tree that Zacchaeus climbed up in." And I think it was a tree of several thousand years of age. And whether or not that was the tree or not, that's not the point. There was a tree and there was a man, and his name was Zacchaeus. And that is not a story. And Zacchaeus climbed up into the sycamore tree to find a vantage point from which he could see his Creator, But I would say even more that his creator could see him. And he was seen that day. And the Lord invited him. The Lord invited him and called him. And he said, "Today I will stay at your house. Come quickly." And so the gospel is filled with these movements of haste. Just as we prayed in the opening prayer of the Mass, "Lord, may we hasten without stumbling to receive the things that you have promised." Because our sin in so many ways holds us bound, holds us down, weighs us down, so that we would be forgetful of the purpose and the call which is ours by our creation. But it is the Lord who passes by Zacchaeus' life and yours and mine, that the Lord invites. In fact, he does more than invite. He commands that we would come to him, and we would come quickly, because we cannot delay the today that the Lord desires, our conversion, our repentance. We hear in that second reading the desire that the name of the Lord Jesus would be glorified in us and us in him. How is it that so many Christians do not bear witness to the world of the meaning of the name of Jesus? So many who are Christians, whether it's in private sin or even in public and manifest sin, are not allowing the Lord to convert us, to convict us, to bring us to repentance. Of course, the name of Jesus means God saves, God seeks, and God ransoms. And he does it in Jesus Christ. And for us to bear the name of Christian means that we cannot object to the Lord converting us and letting his holy name be glorified in us. We who are people here at Holy Name Parish must allow the Lord today to find us, to meet us, to call us and to convert us. Because in one or two or three or four or five aspects of our lives, we, like Zacchaeus, are stuck. We, like Zacchaeus, are ashamed. We, like Zacchaeus, are embarrassed of what the world would think. We, like Zacchaeus, are called to be convicted and then converted, to make an inventory of our lives and in humility and in honesty before the Lord, to let the Creator find us, to let the Creator redeem us. We might think of a sycamore tree, and we might think that's a nice tree to look at, probably a nice tree to climb. In the ancient world and to this day in Africa and the Middle East, sycamore trees are not the sycamore trees we have here in the West. Sycamore trees are fruit-bearing trees, a type of fig. And it's interesting to me that Jesus, at one other point in the gospel, fascinated by trees as he was, the Creator, fascinated with his creation, he came upon a fig tree, and he looked in its branches, and he saw that there was no fruit, and he cursed that fig tree as a prophetic gesture of what he would do when he did not see signs of fruit, signs of repentance. But in this particular fig tree, this particular sycamore tree, as the Lord peered up into the branches, he saw fruit that was ready to harvest. And he took that fruit to himself. And he said, "Come to me, creature of God, and let me restore you to your true dignity. You are the fruit that I came in the world so that it would be born. Fruit that would remain. Fruit that is abiding in my Father's love." And whatever happened in that encounter in Zacchaeus' house, whatever happens in our hearts in that inner sanctuary as we beg the Lord's mercy, as we seek out his mercy in the sacrament of reconciliation, as we humble ourselves in these coming days, as this year of mercy comes to a close, as the new year and the season of Advent comes close, let us allow that encounter to change us. Let us allow that encounter to harvest the fruit of repentance. Because our Lord is fascinated with trees. And in fact, at one point, the point on which his life ended, the climax of his life in the gift of our salvation, our Lord himself climbed a tree beside two others who had climbed trees themselves. And he looked over at one, because that one had acknowledged in him the King of the universe, Christ the King, the Savior of the world. And he made an act of faith. He made an act of repentance. He made an act of humility. And Jesus used the same word he used twice with Zacchaeus: "Today, you will be with me in paradise." That's not automatic, my brothers and sisters. But the Lord is passing by, not in a story, but truly and really in the gift of the Eucharist. Let us not harden our hearts. Let us hear the words that Jesus spoke to the good thief. If only we would soften our hearts and allow salvation to come to our house, our hearts, our parish this day. Jesus himself was making haste up the hill from Jericho to Jerusalem, where he would make the definitive act of love for the salvation of your soul and mine. But he took one moment to stop at the house of Zacchaeus because he knew that it was for such that he had come. He couldn't rush by and leave Zacchaeus in the tree. He had to call Zacchaeus to himself and restore him to his original dignity. My friends in Christ, let us allow the Lord on his way to the cross to find us. For us, he came into the world, not so that we could remain unchanged, but so that like Zacchaeus, who climbed a tree, he could find salvation. And so we pray, Lord, bring to us this day the salvation for which you came into the world. Come and harvest the fruit of repentance in our hearts. And where there is only hardness and denial, where we turn away from you, come and find us. Where we hide and seek to be far from you, Lord, come and draw us close. This is our prayer that as you converted Zacchaeus, and as his life was changed radically and completely, our lives this day by your passing by would be changed. Today, salvation, Lord, bring to our house and our heart. Amen.